Governor Walker signed the $100 million property tax relief bill into law yesterday. We'll talk about what that means to you and what it means for the state budget and maybe for the next election in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 21st. We'll hear from two state lawmakers coming up after 7:30, two legislative leaders, the Republican Assembly Majority Leader Bill Cramer and the Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson will weigh in on the property tax cut and some other bills before the state legislature. But first, we'll get a roundup of some of these bills, including the property tax relief measure, in the first half of our State Capitol Report from Steve Walters, who is a senior producer for Wisconsin Eye, the state's public affairs television news network. Steve is also a lecturer at the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, and he was honored by the State Assembly last week for his Wisconsin Journalist of the Year Award from the Milwaukee Press Club, and he joins us in our studios. Good morning, Steve, and congratulations.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks so much. I work with some incredibly talented people who nominated me, so I'm very, very fortunate.
Well, we're happy to have you here. In lieu of our regular State Capitol Report reporter, and that's our own Sean Johnson, who's been off. Maybe our astute listeners will realize he's been off for a couple of weeks, and that is because he was awaiting the birth of his second child. And I told Steve just before we went on the air that I wasn't sure if Sean is now a new daddy once again. And Steve, you're such a reporter, you knew before I did.
This just in. Email from Sean and his lovely wife. Meredith Louise Johnson was born on October 13th. Big sister Everly is taking good care of her. Life is good. Hopes all's well with you, Sean.
Oh, well,
there you go, Joy.
Yeah, thank you so much. See, I'm always the last to know. Well, congratulations to Sean and his brand new baby girl. So anyway, on maybe less exciting news, now let's talk about the property tax cut that Governor Walker signed yesterday in Burlington. First off, Steve, what is there a significance to him signing the bill on a farm in Burlington?
Well, he signed the budget over in the same southeast Wisconsin and at the end of June. So he likes to sign budgets over in the area of Kringleville. So it's kind of it's a key area, and you're looking at the area of Speaker Voss and things like that, and Representative Kirkman. So,
well, he said that it's time to give the hardworking people of Wisconsin some relief. And he signed this $100 million property tax bill into law. But let's talk a little bit first about how this proposal was just introduced just a week before last. And then in less than a week, it passed both houses of the legislature. He signs it yesterday. This was on the fast track, wasn't it?
Yeah, one of the bills we're considering, would raise the speed limit. Well, this bill may have broken the speed limit when it goes from the governor's idea and proposal to on his desk in about a week. Basically, what happened is you saw some higher tax collections come in. So the governor and his team thought we could take $100 million and we could lower property taxes by $40 million on the tax bills that all of us will be getting here in about 8 weeks. And then the other $60 million would come in the tax bills 1 year from now. So the initial benefit is $40 million, and I'm looking at figures from the Fiscal Bureau. A median-valued Wisconsin home, that's median-valued, of course, $151,100, and the owner of that home will get an additional $13 on the tax bill that she or he will be getting in 8 weeks, and a $20 cut in the tax bill a year from now. So it's $100 million, $40 million now, $60 million a year from now, and it's delivered through the school aid formula. And one thing about that is it just doesn't benefit homeowners. It benefits owners of all properties. And going back to my Fiscal Bureau note, if you have a property valued at $50,000, your average benefit, these are statewide averages, Joy, as you know, mm-hmm. is $4. If you have a property valued at $500,000, it's $44. If you have a property, which could include a manufacturing property or a business valued at, for tax purposes, at $5 million, it's $442. And if you owned a business or manufacturing property valued at $10 million, your average benefit would be $883.
All right. So, I saw a headline that said that if you're a landlord or if you're a business owner, you're going to get a lot more property tax relief than the average homeowner, is it?
The average homeowner, $13 on the tax bill that's coming out in a couple weeks.
Well, so why do the supporters of this tax cut think it was necessary?
Well, the fundamental argument is we got some extra tax collections. Let's turn it around. Let's put it in the hands of property owners as soon as possible. That's the premise. Now, the other side of that is projections show a structural deficit of $750 million, but that's a few years from now. Let's talk about the deficit, though. We have general fund tax collections of $14 billion a year. So if the economy grows 3%, 140 times 3, what is that, 400 and, help me do the math.
No, I can't do that.
Okay. 140 million times 280, yeah. So that'd be 420 yeah. million there. I think we're right. And then that would continue to build up. So the governor says if the economy grows 2 or 3 or 4%, then that wipes out the structural deficit, which would occur a few years from now. So,
why did the governor and the legislature choose to do this through the school aid formula rather than, give the money to schools?
Well, I believe they chose to do that so you would benefit all property owners. The Democrats in the Assembly offered to take the $40 million and just put it back to the first dollar credit. Basically, let's just give it back to homeowners. But they were voted down, and they went with the governor's plan. Let's use the school aid formula. You know, Joy, it's interesting because when you use the school aid formula, again, quoting from Fiscal Bureau printouts, you have about 60 school districts that get less than $100 worth of aid here. I know sometimes on Friday you have John Smart from the Shawamigan School District. He's a former school board member.
Yeah, in Price County, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. In Price County. The Shawamigan School District was formed by the merger of Park Falls and Glidden. Well, if you have Mr. Smart on Friday, he will say that his school district will only get $440 worth of benefit. So you have about 60 school districts that will get little, if any, benefit, but some of your larger communities, both Milwaukee and Madison, will see more than $2 million. It's just interesting nuance of using the school aid formula.
So some Democrats also did vote for this. It would look, I suppose it wouldn't look too good to vote against a property tax cut.
Yes. I believe the assembly vote was 84 to 12. And I think the Democrats from the Safer Districts, the Chris Taylor from Madison, the Evan Goikes of Milwaukee, they are largely the ones that voted against it, saying we could have done better for the homeowners.
Yeah. And
but property tax relief, that's pretty popular, Joy,
yeah.
By any.
And those Democrats and other Democrats perhaps too are saying that the governor did this for political purposes, because it's going to be a nice headline for the upcoming election.
Well, the governor is up in about 12 and a half months.
We are talking with Steve Walters. He is senior producer for Wisconsin Eye. He's also a lecturer at the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. We are talking with him about happenings under the state capitol dome during this, our weekly state capitol report. Talking first about the property tax relief bill that the governor signed yesterday. We'll also talk some about legislation that would raise the speed limit on interstate highways in Wisconsin and another bill that would make it harder to force public schools to drop their Indian mascots. And we'll welcome your questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Steve Walters, who is senior producer for Wisconsin Eye, the state's public affairs television network. And Steve, you're going to be interviewing Tony Evers, the Department of Public Instruction superintendent today. What about?
Well, I'm going to ask him about the expansion of vouchers. Vouchers, as you know, went in the budget, had existed for just Milwaukee and Racine. And I want to talk about the rollout when we expanded it statewide. What was the effect of the 500 cap, student cap on enrollment? And what does he look forward to? Basically, what have we learned 2 months after we expanded choice statewide?
And we can see this interview on the Wisconsin Eye website?
Yes, you can see it by noon today on the Wisconsin Eye website, and thanks for letting me plug Wisconsin Eye.
Well, it's sort of Wisconsin's C-SPAN, or don't you like that comparison?
I love that comparison.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about our I'm gonna take a call from Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I thought that we had, like, for a state deficit, $6 billion, and the governor took a loan out over 20 years to level off this budget. But at the same time, why don't we pay out? Now, they like to level with us, and they make it like some homeowner like you, or a family what they do. Well, if you have a little bit extra, why don't you just pay off that loan instead of trying to give people back money? I think it's all smoke and mirrors.
Well, what's the budget situation, Steve?
Well, there was some restructuring of state debt. Thanks for your call. And we are paying more on principal and interest on our debt than we have been. And this is especially true with transportation. One of the major decisions that the legislature chose not to make in the current budget was how are we going to pay for the state's transportation future? Instead, they borrowed $1 billion. So basically the situation is we have restructured some state debt. Debt continues to grow, principal and interest. And that's a question. That's a question for the state's political leaders to sort through.
Well, let's talk about a couple of other bills that are making their way through the legislature. There is a bill that would make it harder to force public schools to drop their Indian mascots. Essentially, now, if there is one person who complains, the Department of Public Instruction will review this. The school can defend itself to say that the name is not racist if it doesn't want to change the name. But this bill would what? What is the new bill, Steve?
The bill passed by the Assembly says it would take 10% of voters in that school district to petition for a change in a school name or mascot. And it would take the process of hearing that appeal away from DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, and house it in the State Department of Administration.
And what's the reasoning behind this from the supporters?
The supporters, Speaker Voss, say that it's been too easy, just one person filing a complaint, and that you should get broader support if you want to change a mascot or a team name. So that's why it's kind of tied to 10% of the voters in that school district.
Mm-hmm. And the Assembly did pass this, but the Senate did not. What's the delay in the Senate?
Well, the Senate now plans to take it up November 5th. Senator Fitzgerald said it's his intent to take it up November 5th. But I do want to point out that I'm thankful that Senator Schultz's staff was working over the weekend, because Senator Schultz is going to offer this compromise. Number one, DPI would review all school nicknames and mascots in the state rather than waiting for someone to file a complaint. Number two, if DPI determined the name or the mascot could be race-based, the matter would be turned over to local school board. Third, the local school board could then work with the Great Lakes Intertribal Council to reach an agreement at any time in the process. If the two entities found an agreement, the matter is ended. No lawsuits. Fourth, there's basically a do-over for Mukwonago, which is the school district that caused this latest furor. The Schultz compromise would wipe the slate clean, and the disputes that the district and DPI are now involved in would be null and void. So probably part of the reason for the delay to November 5 is for Senator Schultz to offer this compromise. But the Senate does intend to take up the mascot bill on November 5th.
Yeah. All right. So you haven't probably been able to get any reaction to this compromise bill.
No, I haven't.
But all right, so that's something we'll be following as well. What about the speed limit? Does it look like we're going to be able to drive 70 miles an hour on interstates and interstate-like highways in Wisconsin sometime soon?
I think that's uncertain. And when Representative Paul Tittle announced this bill, Capitol journalists went to the Senate leader, Senator Fitzgerald, and he said, "Boy, that's not on our priority list." And can I just point out, the senator's father is the head of the state patrol.
Yeah.
So there might be some advice sought and given from the head of the state patrol. I think that Bill's future is uncertain, Joy.
Well, that's interesting because it seems like there's some bipartisan support for it.
Yes.
In terms of that. But so why would the state patrol hypothetically not want the speed limit to be 70 miles per hour?
I haven't spoken to the State Patrol Administrator Fitzgerald, but if they're concerned about safety, that might be an issue. I don't know if they're formally on record for or against the bill.
All right.
I'm just saying Senator Fitzgerald is probably going to talk to his father.
Yeah, and Senator Fitzgerald said that it was not a priority.
Yeah.
Well, what is the priority? Where are the job bills, Steve?
Well, they're perking up. The Democrats say you're never going to do enough, and the Republicans say, well, we've done some, and we continue to offer these changes. So they're still out there on the margins.
Yeah, and there are. There's a package of seven or
yes.
eight of them that
yes.
mainly job training, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And a couple of those bills are sponsored by Democrats, so they do have a future.
We have a caller from Gary in Boscobel. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Joy. I'd like to ask your guest two quick questions. One of them is in the October 18th State Journal, there was an article about two Republicans, Tiffany and Ballwig, want to introduce legislation that would totally restrict counties and townships from having any control over their areas, especially connected with mining, enact a statute that would roll back control of mine reclamation efforts, pollution monitoring, and even excavation and disposal of soils. And then another one is, I live here in southwest Wisconsin, and it's been 15 weeks ago that we had this disastrous flooding here, 16 inches of rain in 3 days. And I've been in touch with my political representatives, but there doesn't seem to be any movement, at least recently I haven't heard of any movement on any kind of disaster aid for the citizens out here in
I'm sorry, Gary, for what you've gone through there, but I have seen a number of at least social media references to this bill that would essentially take local control away from localities in terms of, especially when it deals with frac sand mining.
Frac sand mining. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Senator Tiffany and Representative Ballwig just did roll it out. I think it's a serious bill. I think it's on its way to get approval. Basically, it would say that local governments couldn't regulate frac sand mining except through zoning. And the Journal Sentinel reported last week 240 townships, many of them in western Wisconsin, do not have zoning ordinances. So it would be a serious change in terms of the powers of local government. And I think it's a bill that will get some consideration in the fall session. I also want to echo Joy's sorry at your flooding out there. I'm not up to date on the status of any emergency, but I hope you guys in the basketball area are doing better.
Yeah. You know, we have just a couple of minutes to go. You pointed out that tomorrow is a primary election day in some legislative districts. As quickly as you can, what do we have going on?
Well, tomorrow is the primary in the 21st district to replace. The vacancy was created by the resignation of Representative Mark Honnadel. There are five Republicans vying for a chance to compete with the Democrat in the November 19th special election. And also in the 69th Assembly District, which is the Marshfield-Abbotsford area, there are four Republicans who want to be on the ballot for the November 19th special election to replace former Majority Leader Scott Souter. And one more, tomorrow's a deadline for candidates in the 82nd District to register with the Government Accountability Board to try and replace Representative Jeff Stone.
And we are probably not going to see any any party changes in these elections? They're in Republican districts?
Well, I think that may be true in two out of three. Oh. Remember that the prior to these three resignations, there are three vacancies in the Assembly. The Republicans had 60, so they probably two out of three are going to stay R. Yeah. So.
Okay. And we have 1 minute to go. Can you, we have a number of people signing up to run for Attorney General. So what do we have there?
I find that just interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, the Dane County District Attorney has said, hey, don't count me out. Representative John Richards from Milwaukee says, count me in. Chris Taylor says, I'm thinking about it. The Waukesha County DA, Brad Schimmel, is saying, I'm in. And, it's intriguing to me that Jim Palmer, the president of the Wisconsin Police Association, last week put out a Facebook appeal, helped me decide to run as an independent.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that, too. And, Steve, thank you so much for coming in. I hope you'll join us again sometime for the State Capitol
Report. I will. And, Sean, welcome back.
Sean's going to be doing some daddy duties for a while, and
yes,
we'll have him back.
Whenever
sure,
he's back.
Soon. Yes.
Thanks,
Steve
Joy.
Walters is senior producer for Wisconsin Eye, the state's public affairs television news network. And he was honored by the State Assembly last week for his Wisconsin Journalist of the Year Award by the Milwaukee Press Club. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.